we're back on another episode of the Moviegoers Podcast. This week, we got Ross Wiseman, who is just the funniest guy you'll ever meet.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, there he is. That's the sound of him. I'm joined by my co-host, Jake Siegelbaum.
Hey, thanks. Weird you introduced the guest before me, but I'll go with it.
He's more important.
Also, did not know you were going to get so loud.
Well, you got to get ready for that type of stuff when I'm not wearing headphones. So, anyway, Ross Wiseman, he's a gentleman, and he goes to Temple. He's the head, or one of the heads of Temple Smash and the improv club here. The man is hilarious, and he has his own podcast in which you cover kids' movies.
That's right.
What is that called again, Ross?
It's called Kid Flicks.
Kid Flicks, which is on SoundCloud and iTunes, right?
Yeah, definitely check us out at Kid Flicks Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Dope. We just actually recorded one with him on Willy Wonka. So apparently you cover different kids' movies with different guests. Which
yeah,
I guess
it's basically I've been a camp counselor for a couple years. I teach kids now, and I just have watched so much kids movies, kids entertainment, and some of it's great, and some of it's so bad, and I'm enthralled at
just the
industry, because it's a whole industry of like specifically.
Right.
Just children's stuff.
And it's also nostalgic to go back and look at movies you might have enjoyed
Definitely.
When you were younger. That's what I felt with Willy Wonka. But today, Jake...
Yeah.
We're going to be covering mostly comedy because Ross Wiseman is...
He's a funny man.
He's a soon-to-be famous comedian.
He's famous to me.
Oh,
that's right.
He's that doesn't really count, though.
among
that's
the
like toilet
people.
Paper being famous for your ass or something. Does
you're,
that make
you're,
sense?
You're the Charmin of my life.
You've wiped him away. Plenty of time.
Yeah,
so
I'm the cartoon bear to your clean butt. I don't know. They're always like, hey.
You know, it actually is softer, though. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It is.
Because we just got a... We're on our last
roll. Yeah, speaking
rolls.
Of which, I was about to... No, we're on our last roll right now, and we got a week. We got over a week.
We can make it count.
So anyway, what are
we're
talking
gonna
about?
We're going to ask you... we have a few questions that we're actually just starting to ask every guest when they come on.
Oh, we
kinda,
are?
We kind of fit them to the guest. You know,
so just different questions.
Different questions.
Okay, I thought it was going to be like
different
same,
questions.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
with China, just to get your personality across
sure.
to the listeners, the few that we have.
All both
so the
of them.
First one I'm going to ask you is,
okay.
do you have a favorite genre of movies?
I mean, I love comedy, obviously.
Right.
It's fun. But I think when I want to watch something different, like something out of comedy, I'll usually go to like... Kind of like a thinky thriller or something. Like, I mean, I love...
Psychological thriller?
I get... Because, I mean, I'm trying to think. Because I love anything written by Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, I'm right there
like
with
Like, Steve Jobs, Social Network.
Okay.
Two of, like, my favorite movies. And also, like, I'm, like, dipping my toes in documentaries. I'm really particular about which ones I watch, but...
Interesting, wow.
I just watched the Casting JonBenet.
Ooh.
It's on Netflix. It's...
Casting by?
Casting JonBenet.
Oh,
so it's about
right.
JonBenet Ramsey. It's very cool.
That's pretty neat. So, is it fair to say comedy is maybe like the one, or are you all over the place? You like all.
I mainly like comedy. Yeah.
Interesting. One thing I'm finding, like, so this whole show where we're gonna be talking about our favorite comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the layout is we're gonna go over our favorite comedies to come out in the past 10 years, as well as our favorite comedies. To come out pre 1990, because I feel like
just because fuck the 90s,
right? And I feel like the ones we're more familiar
kids.
With, like that we
no,
grew
yeah,
up
yeah.
with, are within the 90s.
We
kind of
set that restriction just because, like I was saying earlier to off a podcast, that the 90s is sometimes referred to as like the golden age of like cinema or one of the golden ages of cinema,
particularly comedy.
Yeah,
too.
Really.
So,
oh yeah. I mean, 90s are big. I don't think that they're the decade, but
no,
it's the decade
like,
that we're
I mean,
probably most familiar with.
I mean, I guess like with just that's when Tarantino started. And,
yeah, Tarantino,
and
there's like a lot of Spielberg's best is there.
And it's just when we were, that's like when we were
yeah,
watching
and that's
movies.
Like probably a
so
lot
it's,
of the...
It's interesting to talk about ones that for a decade that we didn't grow up in and then also just more recent.
Because
I feel like in terms of just comedy, I think TV is at its pinnacle right now. I think TV owns comedy right now in terms
yes.
of like entertainment on a screen. It's TV.
Yeah.
There's so many comedy shows and you just have more time to spend with those characters. And I mean, it kind of falls into this whole thing with movies. A lot of comedy sequels don't work out because it's too much time that passes that you're not with those characters. There's so few that work. And then the ones that do are, you know, very few and far between. And it's just, that's a problem. As to a TV show, you have to wait a week and you're back with those characters. And they don't need to do anything life-altering each episode.
Yeah, I've, like, noticed, as much as I love comedy and it's, like, one of my favorite things that exist, a lot, like, my favorite movies are usually, like, not comedies. They're, like, dramas or, like, thrillers or something like that.
Have comedic elements, though, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But, well, like, not straight-up comedies, usually.
For me, I mean, I love watching comedies, but I think I have trouble watching them just because I'm not that much of, like, a laugh-out-loud person, especially if I'm watching, like, a movie or TV show alone. So, like, I think that's why I'm starting to gravitate towards other genres, just because, like horror, thriller, science fiction, you get kind of more visceral, different reactions. But with comedy, if you're not, like, fully immersed in watching and listening and everything, it just kind of doesn't feel as fulfilling of an experience.
But we're going to go into our first transition here. So I'm going to ask you these questions just so that we can get more of a feel. So comedy, you're a big fan of SNL, I take it?
Yes.
I mean, you write sketch comedy at Temple Smash. What's one of the more memorable sketches you saw, whether it's on SNL or any other kind of platform or show?
Oh, that's a
good one of your favorites. Not
that's hard. Yeah.
Just an example of a Ross favorite, like Ross seal of approval on a sketch.
Yeah, I mean, my brother and I, we used to love doing like the Target lady voice, Kristen Wiig's character. But also, oddly enough, and I've talked about this, I was on the podcast, my first sketch, and we were talking about just kind of comedy influences, and Mad TV was big for me. And looking back, yeah, it doesn't really hold up, but at the time, just like, it was very much what SNL was not, like very like pop culture oriented, and it was very much, it worked great in the moment, but then like couple months later, it didn't work. Like they did a parody of My Chemical Romance's Black Parade about Michael Richards saying the N-word at the comedy club. It was very cool at the time, and like it had a little something to say, but then again they had a bunch of stupid shit like Stewart, just like that giant. I'm like, look, what I can do.
Have you seen anything more recent? Because they brought it back.
Oh my god, this so current season. Like, it's I feel bad because I would say that I'm a fan of Mad TV, but just this new season, the writers, I don't think know the brand of Mad TV, because it is definitely more pop culture oriented, but it just felt everything is so top level and so little thought. Like the one sketch that I watched, it was like Suicide Squad. And the whole sketch was that there was a suicide prevention hotline called Suicide Squad.
I don't know. What's sad is that one of my favorite comedians is actually on it now. His name's Adam Ray. I think he's awesome. Hmm. But I tried.
He's the guy that does all the impressions.
Like, it's good. It's good. And you're like, nah, it's awful. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But okay, we'll move on to the next question.
Oh, real quick. Oh, one of my one of my favorite sketches from Mad TV. I think it's called just Going Postal or something. And John C. McGinley was like the guest star of that episode, and it was just like every single postal worker in the same post office decided to go postal at the same time, and they're all like trying to decide who's gonna go on a murderous rampage. It was fun.
I remember loving Mad TV because Comedy Central would have like so many reruns every morning. I think I actually knew what Mad TV was before SNL.
Really?
I wouldn't say that.
I was watching Mad TV at a very young age. Like I probably,
it's not live though, right?
No.
Is it live?
No.
It's a live audience. Yeah. Fun fact, they memorize their lines. They don't have cue cards.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's a difference.
Well, okay. So the next one we got. Do you have a favorite movie director? Just like in film.
Director?
Yeah, director.
Hmm.
Not writer, but
director.
It's okay if they do both.
Not off the top of my head. Like,
is there a director where if you hear their name, like, oh, they did that, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to watch it?
I mean, definitely Tarantino. Right. I'm still a big fan of M. Night Shyamalan. I know he's made some bad movies. Like, I'll give you The Last Airbender, but that's really it. Like, he's
After Earth.
After Earth.
Oh, After Earth. I forgot that he even did that. Did he write
that? Happening. Lady in the Water.
Hold on. Lady in the Water was not that bad.
He's bad in it.
Paul Giamatti?
No, he's in it, M. Night.
Does he have a big role in it? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think he's a father.
Because here's the thing. I've only seen three M. Nights. It's a much different movie.
It's personal. It's a personal film.
It's not really a horror movie, but Devil was great. The Visit was fantastic. I liked... It was nice. Like, if it was any other director, I would be like, oh, it's whatever.
And he didn't direct it, did he? I think he just produced
it. He produced it. He might have helped. It had his visit style.
The Visit was a bit... I think it's him coming back.
And yeah, well, did you see Split? Split was great.
And he doesn't see it, so he doesn't know the twist. But,
Everybody knows the twist.
I actually don't know it at this point.
I mean, I'm not going to say it, but it was very annoying because the weekend that it came out, there were a bunch of different headlines online, and they said it in the
straight up spoiler
headline, which really, that wasn't cool.
Do you have a favorite actor?
Ooh. Again, it's hard. I mean,
comedic actor, maybe?
I've been watching a lot of Gilmore Girls, and Lauren Graham is a fantastic comedic actor.
Really?
She has fantastic timing. Like, if you know the show, a lot of it's very rapid fire dialogue, and it's they do a lot of the show is just like a tracking shot. Right. They do very long takes, and
you can ask actress next. So that's one.
Just the skill that they have, and like that's where the show where Melissa McCarthy got her start. And like, say what you will about a lot of her movies, like
I think she's great.
She is very talented, and
she's killing on SNL too. It's probably the most exciting thing right now on SNL.
That's right.
Can you do any impressions?
I can.
Give us a little like demo reel of your impressions?
Yeah, sure. I do one that's strictly visual, so I won't do that one.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
So I actually have a list up because I try when I figure out one, I write it down so I remember it. So I'll do a couple. I can do Richard Kind.
Okay, Richard Kind.
Oh, hello, Riley. Who's your friend that loves the most Bing Bong? I do Gilbert Gottfried. I have to step back because I don't want to yell. What's going on?
That
was pretty good, actually. Wow. That one was impressive. I'll give him a
thank you.
There.
I think, actually, you know what? This is a podcast, so I'll try to do my Ira Glass impression for the host of This American Life.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
This American Life from Ira Glass. So every week on our broadcast, we bring you three stories.
I think that's great with headphones on, too.
Yeah.
So far, Godfrey's my favorite.
Well, I know you guys like my Louis C.K., because I worked on it for a while. I how's it going? You fucking asshole. I just released Horse and Pete. I don't care. And then this one is just for me. Like I've still yet to find anybody that gives a shit about this impression, but I can do current day Dick Van Dyke.
I wouldn't really know what it sounds like.
So when I was starting in the business, Stan Laurel, he really just took me under his arm.
So if any of you out there,
voice in general,
just
there.
Take it on faith. That was incredible.
I'll pull up a video later, and we'll decide for sure.
And what's your favorite podcast?
Ooh, love comedy.
This one,
Comedy Bang Bang, and Doughboys.
Nice.
Love the Doughboys.
Jake, you're a fan of Comedy Bang Bang, right?
I'm very much a fan.
Okay. Well, moving on, Jake.
No further questions.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, we're going to get into our favorite comedies of the last 10 years.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I actually, at first, this was a little difficult for me because, again, like we were saying earlier, like a lot of my favorite comedies, I think, came out in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I actually did find a lot of gems. I do think there have been a few, but it's weird. Like, we only get one or two a year, I think, that are all right. There's a lot of crap.
Comedy is so hard. Like, you can make a mediocre drama and it'll be relatively successful, have like a 60-70% on Rotten Tomatoes, but like,
how many Kevin Hart movies do you need a year? I'm just saying. Like, you get five or six, and that's the comedy that comes out that month.
It's easier in general to produce a comedy than any other genre, because it's usually shorter, like maybe 80, 90 minutes.
And you just need a star.
Yeah.
You just need a star.
The budget's usually not that bad.
Yeah.
But the ones that usually, I think, are the memorable are the ones that don't have as many stars, or they're making fun of the star that's in it. Like,
or, like, the stars, like, are characters, and, like, you know who they are, but you just see them as their characters. Like, it's not, like, just... Because, I mean, Leslie Nielsen, at a certain point, I love him, but it very much was just like, oh, Leslie Nielsen is playing a cop. Like, right. He was... in Airplane, he was that character, and it was different, but then... He just kind of kept coming back to that, you know?
Yeah. Jake, how about you throw one out right now?
I'm going to throw...
The top ten, past 10 years. Okay. So we're going from 2007 to 2017.
This is no order. This isn't like my number one.
Throw
this
one out there right now.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox
story. I wrote that down. I
haven't seen it.
I've seen it, I think, 3 or 4 times.
Is it that
good? It's a phenomenal movie. Have you seen Walk the Line?
Yes.
It's...
Does it make fun of that?
It's kind of a parody movie of that. I mean, it's a parody
I've never seen Walk the Line, but it's just generally satirizing... like very holier than thou biopics, like specifically the musical ones, and just like people like
the rise and fall. Right?
She is,
and I think it's a great thing for music lovers as well, because throughout the course of the movie, the character of Dewey Cox parodies like Johnny Cash, Bowie. He trips acid with the Beatles at one point.
Oh, really?
Were cast perfectly.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool.
Also, the music itself is very good.
Oh, really?
Which is what separates it, because a lot of movies. That have comedy movies that have music in it that are like it's like music within the movie. It like feels kind of off. You're just like this.
That
I can't,
is true.
Like these, the songs in this movie. I read about it, and they enlisted actual singer songwriters to kind of write these songs for specific eras, and like they sound.
I totally agree.
Like real songs. Like when people are blowing up, they're like, "Oh, this song is sweeping the nation." Like I could understand and listen to that song and be like, "Yeah, that would."
And then when they produce it too,
they match the sounds well too. Because there's also a point where he's kind of like parodying like Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys when he has like all of these things in the studio.
Oh, really?
And it kind of sounds like a B-track Beach Boys song. Yeah. A little.
So they like legit made songs.
Oh yeah, it's like
I love movies that do that.
Similarly, have either of you seen Christopher Guest's A Mighty Wind?
No.
So that's Christopher Guest. He does all those mockumentary films, Spinal Tap, Best in Show.
Wait a minute. Did he? Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to mention Spinal Tap later.
Well, that also fits in this category. But A Mighty Wind, it's basically like a mockumentary of all these different like folk bands and legends coming to put on a concert.
I've seen clips of it. I haven't seen the whole thing, though.
It's great. And it's not the most laugh-out-loud movie, but the characters are really well-developed. They all kind of have their own unique quirks.
That's
and again,
how I felt
the
with
music,
Best in Show.
The music is so...
It's real. They made songs.
Yeah. Like, some of it, I think, was are covers, but a lot of them are original songs. I think it was nominated. Some of them were nominated for Oscars.
Well, one that was last year, Popstar.
That's right.
Documentary.
That's also
all
on my list.
Real songs. Like
I'm really
I listened to
how,
those songs.
Still. How that didn't really, like it didn't earn
it didn't
its budget
get,
back.
I cannot believe it didn't make as much money. I thought it was hilarious.
I watched it with my entire
family. I did.
I thought it was great.
Here's the thing. I think it's because the marketing was very all over the.
And
like,
they
it was,
showed a lot.
It was
they
constant.
It's almost like you saw. I could understand someone saying, like, I got it all from the trailer, and that's all I needed from that movie. Because the trailer was accurate in what the movie was, but, like...
Like, they could have marketed it as, like... They didn't really say, like, Lonely Island a lot. And I guess they didn't want to be, like, the guys that brought you Lazy Sunday. But
yeah, I kind of know what you mean there. It's
well,
a hard movie to
Hot
market.
Well, didn't Hot Rod not do super well either? So
no.
I guess they didn't want to associate...
I mean, I think Popstar, it's a... Everybody liked it that saw it, and I think it'll last. Like, people will be like, oh, this is a good time capsule of, like... Because it is very reminiscent of, like, what it's like to be.
It came out maybe a year or two ago. I think it's a tiny bit late. Like, because it was a blatant, like... They're sort of doing Justin Bieber and a few Jonas Brothers, but I still
just
thought it killed. Like, it...
Oh, yeah.
It was great. All the cameos are good. And the ending's
Ringo
legit.
Starr is in this movie.
It is.
He is.
The ending has a legit emotional moment, too. Like, it some of these movies... I'll throw out, like, Get Him to the Greek... Another one that had real songs.
Forgot about that movie.
The
Another
ending,
one on my list.
But the ending, oh, I didn't love the ending of it because...
He got him
it
to the green.
Yeah, I just didn't really buy the whole emotion they were trying to pull off there, where I feel like they accomplished that in Popstar with him. I actually believed him getting his musician friend back. Like, I believed it all.
Yeah.
I think it was the mockumentary part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any other, like, musical ones you can think of the past 10 years?
To see them. I think we covered the three music-centric ones.
Those were like the three ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, well then, how about... Here, I'm going to
throw
one out
now. Let's get one from the Nelson Archive.
From the Nelson Archive. Okay, so this is actually one of my top three favorite comedies of all time. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah.
I like fucking love that
movie. I was considering putting it on my list, but I thought, like, as much as I loved it, it didn't stick with me super much. Like,
Jason Segel.
If we're talking Jason Segel, I see your... Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and I raise you. I love you, man.
See, that's another one that I think is in the same like realm where it's like, I really enjoyed it, but like it didn't really stick with me.
You know what? It doesn't. I don't think that I Love You Man kind of, me personally, I don't think it, there's not a consistency of laughter, I feel like.
I mean, that's any kind of like, I forget if Apatow produced that, but I mean, that's.
I'm sure he did.
But it, I mean, I love Paul Rudd. A lot of his movies have that pitfall of like it's funny, but then the third act like it really slows down. But I mean, that's like I Love You Man is just a movie that my family and I really enjoy.
Which is like one last thing with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I love, so it's Aldous Snow is played by
Russell Brand.
I think he's so great in that role. Like,
well, yeah,
the song he plays with and Kristen Bell. All the relationships.
It's
I just
Kristen
think
Bell, four, you ding dong.
The four characters are just so great. Like, I don't know. Everywhere he goes, Jonah Hill, I'm pretty sure, got his, like, this was his first movie where he kind of was in the spotlight. This is right before Superbad. So,
was
I
think
like kind of, yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Superbad's 08, I'm pretty sure. And this
oh,
is 2000.
No.
No?
Superbad.
I think Superbad.
Superbad is 07.
Is 07,
yeah,
okay.
Because Superbad and, what's the other? Knocked Up, I think, came out within like 6 months of each other or something.
Well, Forgetting Sarah Marshall was 08, so Superbad was a year.
Oh, it was
before.
Right before?
Superbad was before.
But also, a musical comedy. Make sense to me, for some reason. His vampire musical at the end was fun.
Oh my god, I love that.
And
so
like,
much.
Again, it also had
real
the music had a little weight to it.
And Again with the Greeks, sort of a pseudo sequel because it's Aldous Snow.
Yes.
But Jonah
Hill. Yeah,
Hill's
but Jonah
like,
Hill. There's two Jonah Hills in this universe because
yeah.
He doesn't reprise his role.
He's a little bit fatter, I think, in Get Him to the Greek.
Well, that's because Hollywood can't make up their mind about him.
They just can't. They
and
can't.
He has to compete with Josh Gad now.
Ugh.
Yeah,
it's tough out there for Jonah.
I just love everything with this movie. I think like the emotion's real. It's like it's a breakup movie. It's hilarious.
It's
the opening scene where he breaks
up
and he's naked.
I remember reading that actually happened to Jason Segel.
Oh,
and like his
God.
Immediate reaction was, I have to write this down. Like, this is hilarious.
And then I'm totally blanking on his name right now. He's in he was on SNL. He was Fear and Inside Out.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader's in it, and every second he's a scene stealer in this movie.
I tried to do a Bill Hader impression, but I can't because he kind of talks in the back of his throat like that. But it's
and I think it holds up too. It's in Hawaii, like
it's a very good movie.
I think I'd have to watch. I just haven't like thought about watching it
right
in a while. Like I remember liking it, but it's I don't think I would immediately jump to go watch it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Throw one out there, Ross. Wiser.
Okay, here we go. Team America.
Oh.
It's a little bit longer ago than 2007.
Okay.
I think it was 2003.
So it doesn't fucking, you know, fit
okay,
in.
Okay, okay, here we go. This is the end.
We're going to remove all right.
This is the end.
Ooh. Yes, absolutely agree.
Here's,
I love This is the End.
I would agree if I saw it again, because I need to rewatch it. It's
2013.
I know. I saw it in 2013. I remember loving it. But, like,
yeah,
I need to be reminded more.
Seth Rogen directed and with Evan Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the first he actually directed.
Yeah, and I think it's a good movie. Like, it has a gimmicky premise, like fucking stoners in the apocalypse. But it does have this
themselves.
Emotional.
Yeah,
I love that they play themselves.
I love Michael Cera.
Michael
Cera
is great. But it also, like, it does have this emotional core where it's... Jay Baruchel is just like, he does not like what Seth Rogen and all of his friends have become in like this Hollywood just like fake culture, and I think that was really cool.
And at the same time, Seth Rogen's like, no, dude, like you
and he's
didn't
like,
make an
I
effort.
Didn't read the baby books.
Yeah, and he like you didn't make an effort to like change, and you're like afraid of change. It had some deep moments
yeah.
in it.
Actually,
it was
yeah,
real-
you know what? I'll put it
at
on my
the
list.
End,
I just need to rewatch
when they're getting sucked into heaven, and I Will
Always
Love You is playing, and then it cuts off the like huge devil's like penis.
Yeah,
as he gets pulled up, it's incredible.
And that movie is so it's so good. And then I haven't seen it, but just like a movie like Sausage Party, where it's like it's so many of the same people, but it's just like
yeah.
Like, it's sure, Seth Rogen can do whatever the hell he wants, but, like, I don't know. I don't like raunch just for raunch's sake. I like
right.
when it has, like, this motivation behind it. And I could be wrong about The Sausage Party. I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? I mean, the problem I have with that movie is just, like, the opening's incredible. And then there's 40 minutes that's the same joke and not a lot of laughs. And then it has a great ending. But there's this 40-minute chunk mm-hmm. that's, like, very...
But isn't, like, the whole thing, it's just, like, oh, aren't religious people dumb? And I don't appreciate that. Like, I'm not a religious person, but it's
yeah.
just, like, I think in like there's so much just, like, just bashing people that, like, are religious or just like have spirituality, because it's like, who,
you
like,
kind of need to see it to really.
I get,
but yeah. I do see. Your point.
I know.
I
have
point.
A base. I have a vague understanding of the movie, and I shouldn't be judging it if I haven't seen it, but I want to.
Jake,
oh, we're back to me.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here's one. Let's see if it counts.
Go. Okay.
Because a lot of things with comedies,
spit it out.
Have comedy dramas.
Say
comedy
the fucking
thrillers.
Title.
In Bruges.
Oh, absolutely counts.
Have you seen it?
Don't know what that movie is.
Oh, explain it.
It is one of my favorite
Jake
movies.
Jake showed me this movie, and I thank him for
what
it.
What is it?
It's so Martin McDonagh, who is a playwright who's gone on to movies. He also did Seven Psychopaths, which is also on my list.
Oh, okay.
This movie is so good.
I mean, half of why it's so good is because of the drama and like the real like raw emotion in it, and half of it is because it's absolutely hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a moment with the... It's really two main characters, and there's never a moment where you feel like, oh, it's kind of like wish-washing from like a comedy to a drama. Like, you're emotionally invested. It's like a tragic character.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Colin Farrell, and I can't remember.
Other Gleason. Papa Gleason. Weird Eye from Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
But like, it's such a tragic story for him, and at the same time, his character is like, every character is so like witty and honestly hilarious. Like, there's a part at the end I don't want to spoil, but like, throughout the whole thing, it's a perfect blend of drama, some action and comedy.
Yeah,
one
absolutely.
Of my favorite movies.
It's phenomenal. It is a perfect balance of action. Or drama and comedy, and the villain is Ralph Fiennes. Like, they got Ralph Fiennes in it, and the whole movie's in Bruges, and basically
fucking
like
Bruges.
they're assassins. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. Colin Farrell has this really bad past
where he accidentally killed
a kid.
I guess that's early on.
That's a thing. I mean,
like,
and
he was supposed to kill a priest, and in the process, he killed a child.
By accident.
And now Ralph Fiennes, who's his, like, boss...
Who's awesome.
Like, he basically sent him to Bruges to, like... Because it's a paradise city, and he's going to kill him after. But
he's
Colin
gonna have
Farrell
him,
doesn't know that.
The assassin,
like,
assassinated.
It's such a...
And he also...
Such a brilliant movie.
It's so good. Also, Seven Psychopaths. I think it's not nearly as good, but it's still really, really funny. Really comedy-wise. One of my favorites also... Did you guys see Kingsman?
I did.
I think that qualifies, right?
That's...
Secret Service.
That's what...
Samuel Jackson, Colin...
And Colin Firth.
I didn't see it, no.
Ooh.
I don't know if I'd count that as a full-on
comedy.
It's
okay.
Definitely,
okay.
I'd say, action
The
first.
Ending's pretty... I mean, it's not a spoof of spy genre.
It's like... It's
but it's up there.
Spoof, but like it's also still a spy genre. I don't know if I'd count that.
And Samuel Jackson is... I think it's a comedy. Come on.
It's like...
No? I see it. I'll move on.
Strike you out there.
The Lego Movie.
That's on my list as well.
I love the Lego Movie. I saw it
that
three times.
That
in
could
the
be
theater.
Something that we review one time on my podcast.
Oh, that would have been a good one. That would have been a really good one. But yeah, I saw it three times in the theater because I thought it was so entertaining. And there's always something on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the animators did such a good job with that movie.
And again, not to make it about my podcast, but again, no, but it is a kid's movie, and it isn't a kid's movie where it's like, oh, there's a little something for the parents. It's a movie. No matter how old you are, you can enjoy it. Like, just because there's all these pop culture and all these kid stuff in it doesn't mean that there aren't these universal truths. And it's like, how ordinary is extraordinary, and it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I think it's an adult movie disguised as a kid's movie.
I didn't watch Lego Movie until last year for the first time because I was like, oh, okay, like it's kind of like a big commercial. Like, I kind of get it. And when I watched it alone over like a spring break or something.
And then you were like jerking off too.
Oh, like the entire time.
Rest in pieces.
When I watched it, I was laughing out loud, which I do rarely in general with movies, let alone watching a movie alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it blew me away with how like hilarious it was.
And Chris Pratt's perfect as
Chris
the voice.
Chris Pratt's perfect, Will Arnett's perfect, and then, of course, the Lego Batman movie, which was, I mean, not as good, but like still phenomenal.
It was a good time. I went on a date there.
Oh.
Nice.
Didn't turn into anything. I got ghosted.
Oh, yeah.
But also, well, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who like producers, directors of
21 Jump Street,
Lego Movie. They're I think that would go on my list of like directors where it's like, if I see that they're involved with it, I'm gonna go see it.
21 Jump Street, and what I think is maybe the best comedy sequel in the past few years.
Yeah,
22.
I would agree. I was debating whether, like, I put 21 on mine, but, like, I was debating, like, which one do I like more? Because I actually can't.
I mean,
really,
I think you
out.
Have to group them together because, like, it is a, because, I mean, sequels are always about, like, trying to one up or completely replay the scenario of the first movie. And they do, like, a fantastic job of, like, heightening it, but pointing out how lame heightening mm-hmm. and just, like, how bad sequels usually are.
Yeah, it's formatted, like, almost exactly the same as the first one, but
it
like,
is,
it
and
still
like,
works.
But now we're across the street yeah. at 23 Jumps or 22 Jump Street.
I love that.
And then isn't there an upcoming Men in Black?
Dude, the credit sequence okay. and yes. 22.
Oh.
Best. It's the weirdest thing to say. Best credit sequence I've ever seen in a movie.
I mean, phenomenal. 7 had a pretty good title sequence.
Yeah, they did. But 22 Jump Streets, like, I just love that so much. They had Seth Rogen come in at one point.
Yeah, they had a contract dispute.
I think they went all the way up to 50, and then there was a video game, and now
yeah,
they're going to have a
Men
in Black crossover.
And then all of those are canon, too.
They're all canon.
So that's, I don't know how they're going
to
handle that.
They're just going to skip all the way to, like, 55 Jump Street.
I think they might. Ross, do you have any more?
I'm debating whether I actually kind of think this is one of the best comedies, but I enjoyed it. Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey.
I remember
Faye.
Seeing it in theater.
Like, now that I said it out loud, I don't think it, like, it wouldn't stand out to me as one of my favorites, but it's just Steve Carell and Tina Fey just have, like, very good inherent chemistry together.
Absolutely.
And it's just, like, it's just a fun time of just watching these just middle-aged people have to deal with just a bunch of crazy shit happening to them.
Gun Sideways. I remember that one. That was a fake
that's
thing
a
in
death.
School.
That's a death.
He turned it. And then also, I loved everything with Mark Wahlberg. Remember,
yeah.
People forget he's in that movie.
I've not seen this movie.
You haven't seen Date Night?
No, I remember I was going
that's
to,
that's
like,
not really a reaction when you find out someone hasn't seen Date Night.
I remember like there was, like, a point, like, cool. I was going to rent it with, like, people, and then I didn't, so, I don't know.
It was kind of like the movie that came out. It's like the movie, like, it had that hype that Hangover kind of had. I remember when that came out, everyone was like, have you seen Hangover?
Hangover's
it's rated
fine.
R. I mean, I know, but when I was in middle school, that was like,
yeah,
gotta
I remember
Hangover,
that.
Guys.
I mean, I definitely remember being like, oh, we have to see Hangover, but I was never, like, crazy blown away by
incredible. It. I thought it was, like, a pretty solid comedy.
I thought it was, like, a fun idea, and then, like, talk about fucking diminished returns on sequels.
Oh my god. Ooh. That's like the example of what not to do.
I've chosen not to watch those sequels.
Maybe I was just psyched because I was like, two people from The Office are in movies, so I'm gonna go see them. Like with Ed Helms in The Hangover and Michael Scott, Steve Carell in Date Night. I think Date Night still kind of holds up though. I just remember the ending was like kind of weak when it like wrapped up really quickly. But yeah, you're right. Their chemistry is great in that. And sometimes that's all you need for like these good comedy movies.
Like I think... I don't know. I feel I'm more hit or miss on Tina Fey than I thought I would be.
Yeah, like I did not like Sisters, and that should have worked.
Like,
I liked it.
I saw it on an airplane, and it was enjoyable, but right. like I don't really remember much. Cause okay, you know what? So it reminds me, I'm so sick of this trend in comedy movies right now, where the premise is just like let's have a party.
Mm-hmm.
Like Staten Island
yeah.
Summer.
You're totally right.
Just
Sisters,
all these SNL writers.
Office Christmas Party. And like all of these
oh
performers
God,
are so
right.
talented. And there are so many more that I can't think of right off the top of
right.
my head. But if you want to get there are different ways to get a bunch of performers, really talented people together
yeah.
in one area. Like, I don't know. Do like a high school reunion movie. Like Always Sunny did it. Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion was a thing. But I mean...
Right.
There are different ways to get a bunch of characters together and just like watching a bunch of people get drunk. Like I hated Project X.
Oh,
I did
yeah,
not get the hype.
It wasn't that funny. It was just like,
well,
all the main
characters were unlikable.
Yeah. That didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't funny at all. I totally agree. And that might be like one of the worst comedies to come out of the best few years.
Remember when everybody was like, there are all these reports of Project X parties oh, yeah, going around the country.
Trend. My God, it just made no sense at all. I totally agree with you though. That like that party is that's a theme that's in all
yeah.
these like really bad comedies that are.
I mean, not,
out.
And not even bad comedies, but it's just like
kind of lazy.
It's
very lazy. That's a good word for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention like just Melissa McCarthy in general. I think she's had
Spicer
a very, like exactly
himself.
Split. I think she's had three really good movies and three...
What movies?
I'd say atrocious.
I'd say Bridesmaids would be up there.
Bridesmaids, The Heat. I love The Heat. And Spy. I thought Spy was great. Did you see Spy?
I didn't. I wanted to see Spy. I haven't gotten a chance.
And it's all Paul Feig. Feig. Paul Feig directing it. Like, I think he just is
really
good directing female actresses, just actresses in general. But then she had Tammy. And last year she had The Boss. Which
I don't even remember that.
That's the one where she's like going to go to prison, and Kristen Bell's like, my daughter sells Girl Scout cookies. And she's like, we're going to sell those. Oh. And then Identity Thief.
Identity Thief. Did you like it?
I didn't see it.
I thought it was terrible. I hated Identity Thief. And she, and I don't know. She either gets these roles that are written really well, but she wrote The Boss and she wrote Tammy. And
oh, really?
Terrible, man. And her husband directed them. I just don't know. It just doesn't work for me. Like, I think she works better as like a side character or like a co-lead. I don't think she works as a lead, maybe, or necessarily.
I mean, I think her.
She did work in Spy, though. So
And Zach Galifianakis, I think, have that same kind of curse. They're both phenomenally talented people. They're just dripping with talent and comedy. But it's just sometimes it's overshot, like what they do well and what role is best for them. Like, I didn't see it, but Zach Galifianakis is in that new movie where he's like
it came out
a Midwestern, like,
oh, what was
he's
that?
Like identity thief. Oh, that's not what it's called, but like that's what
he had,
like,
Meet
he's
the
doing.
Joneses or something like that.
Yeah.
And
also,
then he had another one.
John Hamm is a fantastic comedic actor, and it's like, why is he doing stuff like that? Like, why aren't people writing more
for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Jake, do you have another one?
All right, yeah. We should go around like one more time, and then we can probably move on.
Yeah, we'll move to
the
90s.
I'll throw out another one of my favorite films, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, ooh, yes, yes,
I
yes.
might combine here, which is
you
like,
do
talk
Hot
Edgar
Fuzz?
Wright.
I did.
Because Edgar Wright's just, all 07, yeah. Aside from Shaun of the Dead, he's 07 mm-hmm. up.
I would, yeah, definitely. But Scott
is that
Pilgrim.
Your favorite? That's your favorite?
Oh, it's my favorite of his by far.
You
I remember
it?
Seeing it in theaters.
I think so too. I haven't seen all of his, but I definitely like it more than Hot Fuzz.
Oh, really? We just watched that last week. I've seen it before.
I wasn't blown away by Hot Fuzz. I liked it, but I don't know. I think people really overhyped it for me.
I still think it's a phenomenally directed movie. I will say, though, out of like the five, that's probably the bottom, even though
what's the fifth?
There's
the Cornetto trilogy and Scott Pilgrim.
Are you thinking of Spaced?
I think it's only four now that you say that. Yeah. But and then he's got a new one this year, but... Talk about
that's
Scott
right.
Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim is just so, like, it's so quick and so clever, everything about it.
It has a Lego movie factor to it, kind of.
Yeah, because it's, like, the video game aesthetic, and it's, like, the comic aesthetic. Like,
and they don't waste a moment to make a joke. Like, I mean, I think all three of us have seen that episode of Every Frame a Painting.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, Edgar Wright is just very good at visual comedy and just making sure that you're watching this movie for a reason, and like, we're gonna give you a cool way to do something simple.
It's like one of those movies I remember watching in the theater and genuinely going like, I don't want this to end.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this so much.
I took my parents to see it, and they were like, I mean, yeah, sure, we'll see this movie. It's a video game movie, and they loved it.
It's so good.
They could not believe. They were like, oh, if you weren't here, we would not have seen that.
It's not my favorite of his, but it's up there. I really like it. I think it's something with I think I just like what he does with Simon Pegg a little more.
I love all of those.
And there's just something awkward. I actually met... So Brandon Routh is one of the ex-boyfriends. Is it evil ex-boyfriends or girlfriends?
Evil ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, he's one of the evil ex-boyfriends. He's like the nicest guy ever now.
Which one is Brandon?
He played Superman in 2007.
Wait, well,
Superman.
Which evil ex was he?
Oh, God. I think it was the first one.
Matthew Patel.
That's the one with ghosts, right?
Yeah, with the hipster demons.
Yeah.
The hipster demons. He plays...
Oh, what a great movie.
It is such a good movie, man.
I did a presentation for it in class.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your grade?
I think I got a 92.
All right, so 8% away.
8% away. I can't find his character name on right here, but like, I know he plays one of the evil... And Chris Evans is in it, too.
He is.
Which was like one of his first big roles. It's really fun.
Aubrey Plaza
really like
is in it.
That's right. She's truly...
And Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And Allison Pill. But Michael Cera, who Jake looks just like.
Just like.
Just like. My favorite of his was actually The World's End.
See, I feel like that's... I love it,
that's
but I feel like that's my least favorite.
Have you seen it, Ross?
No.
Oh man, it's a pub crawl, and it's again. Like,
yeah,
the classic
I know.
Crew.
Actually, when I was in London last year, and I don't know if I lived near the World's End, but I lived and walked by a pub that was called the World's End.
Again, it's the visual comedy, all these bars, and there's this huge twist. I'm not going to spoil it, but I remember just being in the theater, and like,
it's like they're robots.
Yeah, it was that they're robots, but like what
huge twist?
Because wait, was that
it's kind of revealed? Yeah. The whole town was robots.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And, like, they're in the bathroom, and that happens.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
a great
there's
scene.
A punch, and he punches one of the other town members, and the head pops off, and there's blue, like, blood everywhere, and it was just revealed that the whole town was robots, and I was like, this is incredible. Because it was, like, it became a totally different movie. Ross, do you have any, like, final one? No?
Not off the top of my... Not that I'm like...
Did you see The Nice Guys?
That's the Other Guys?
The Nice Guys. Oh, but The Other Guys is a great one.
I like The Other Guys.
Yeah. Will Ferrell. Like, we didn't mention any more Will Ferrell ones.
Because I think, I don't know, I feel sometimes hesitant to mention Will Ferrell because people are like, yeah, like a Will Ferrell movie. Like, it seems almost like, yeah, of course, like,
he's
that's a good.
He's my favorites.
We talked about Dewey Cox, which is like, it wasn't a Will Ferrell movie, but it was Adam McKay, John C. Reilly.
Yeah. I would say Step Brothers.
I would say Step Brothers over The Other Guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, Step Brothers, I think, is, again, one of my favorites.
See, I always like Will Ferrell. I never, like, am as in... Like, I always enjoy it, but it's not my favorite.
Oh, yeah, he does great talk show appearances.
He does.
He's very reliable.
He dresses up as someone.
Very committed to his
bits. His Little Debbie.
Oh, that was the best. I love Little Debbie. And I love the one we did on Kimmel where he was the knife salesman with
Ryan.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Ryan Gosling. I love that so much.
But to answer your question, no, I have not seen The Nice Guys.
The Nice
Guys
recommend. With Ryan
Gosling. I originally had Kiss Kiss Bang Bang on my list, and then I realized it was... Yeah.
Yeah, no, Nice Guys was top three favorite movies of last year. It's like when I make movies when I grow up. That's the type of movie I want to make. When I'm older.
When I grow up, I want to make a movie just like you, Mr. Gosling.
Okay. We're going to transition to the other topic now.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
Okay. We'll take a break right now.
We'll be right back.
With more
Moviegoers
Talk
To.
Taco.
Hey, how's it going? You ever stare at a wall and you think, how many degrees is that? Hi, I'm Tyler, and this is Tyler's Corners. For all your angle measuring needs. We specialize in all types of angles. Acute, obtuse, right,
equilateral.
This is my son, Baron.
Hi.
He's really shy today because I just took away his television and foreskin.
I had to go outside.
Put that your foreskin. But anyway.
Just buy the corners so I can have my foreskin back.
Hey, if you don't shut up about not corners, you're gonna get sent to the coroners.
Okay, and we're back.
We're back. That was an ad from Tyler's Corners.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, they're the best. So now we're going to transition into comedies
so
that came out.
In.
Comedies that came out pre-1990.
Yes.
Oh,
wait, I forgot to mention. Okay, so I know we're not doing 90s movies, but I wanted to mention one.
Okay. Yeah, say your favorite.
2001, Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say A Space Odyssey. I was like, Ross?
It's so funny. I just when he's running on the
apes.
Ceiling.
But Wet Hot American Summer, absolutely.
Wet Hot American Summer. It's so funny. It's not Edgar Wright, obviously, but just like the fact that they do all these different types of jokes, and it's just so. It's goofy for the sake of goofy, but every character takes everything extremely seriously.
Oh yeah,
which is always so funny.
And did you like the show?
I did.
I love the show.
I watched it at camp when I was a camp counselor. And
were you?
Yeah.
I actually thought like the show was as good. I really did.
It was.
I thought it was that good.
Isn't the show a prequel too?
It is. And they're releasing another series this year.
John Hamm again, used so well in the show. I love Bradley Cooper in it. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Yeah, that's definitely one worth noting.
But yeah.
All right, pre-1990. Ross, we'll let you actually kick that one off, too. Okay. Is there any... So this is like a, you have a huge amount of time here.
This is more
or less
classics. You can do 80s.
My favorite is that train inception. Movie. no, I... My family and I keep talking about my family, but we all
bragging.
We all love Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ooh.
That movie...
That's a 1995.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Well, no, I think Tootsie was earlier.
Tootsie was definitely earlier, but...
Not as good.
Doubtfire's 93.
But no, that's fine. We'll talk about it. Robin Williams. So this was like one of your family's
favorites.
It felt
very much like a late 80s movie.
It doesn't feel like a 90s. Yeah.
Except when you hear them dancing to Jump Around by House of Pain. And there's a goat. There's a full petting zoo in the house. And what's her face? Sally Field? Sally Field is like, he's eating the cake. A mule. Or whatever. But it's such a funny movie, and really I feel like a lot of people wrote it off or still write it off because they're like, so the entire movie, it's just the joke is that it's a guy cross-dressing. No.
No.
The entire, like, there's real motivation. It's a ridiculous idea. It's like, oh, I need to see my kids more, so I'm going to dress up as a British nanny to get to them. But
yeah, it's sweet.
Like, there's heart in it.
Yeah.
And there's that scene, I think, where he has the kids for the one day he has them, and he ordered pizza because he... You know, can't make his own food, but and the wife comes like an hour and a half early to pick them up because it's more convenient for her. And
I
he's
know exactly
like,
what you're talking
you know
about.
What I'm talking about? And the scene, and he just goes like, they want to leave, and he's like begging them not to leave, and you can really see like the struggle in his eyes.
And he's like a, just let me have dinner.
Right, he freaks out at her.
Serious Robin Williams is fantastic. Could not give two shits about Good Will Hunting.
Really.
I do not like that
Whoa.
Movie.
Oh, I just. That,
all right. Well,
can I?
Let's do a. Let's a brief discussion.
Wow. Okay. This will be a totally separate thing. So this is why Ross Wiseman hates Good Will Hunting.
Okay. So
put the theme music in here.
So Matt Damon and Ben Affleck co-wrote this movie. Yes.
Yep. Gus Van Sant directed it.
And yeah, they chose to star in it. Matt Damon wrote himself as like. One of the world's smartest people, and he's so misunderstood. And like I recently saw this for the first time. I saw it twice in September. Why twice in September? Don't worry about it. But I don't know. There was all these expectations. That's like it's like a modern classic. It's really good, but it just felt like a biopic that wasn't real. Because it's just like this kid's so smart. Oh, but he's so. He has so many issues. And, like, I still don't really understand what his issues are. Like, I feel like I don't really know that much about Will Hunting.
Well, I think it was more that, like, he had, like, an anger issue. And he and then it's revealed at the very end that he was, like, totally molested.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
It's not his fault.
It's not your fault?
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Okay, hold on. So I'm going to retort.
Wait,
this movie's
hold
fucking
on.
Incredible. Wait. Yeah. It's like you didn't see the ending.
Hold on, wait.
The very ending of the movie. So, okay, listen, I'm going to bring it
back.
Wait,
is that what It's Not Your Fault was?
Yeah, okay, so there's a moment at the end where, who's the other guy who, like, wanted to teach him? That was his friend. He's in Thor. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I can't think of a name.
I have no idea.
He's like, Robin. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
He's like another mathematician who, he kind of first noticed Matt Damon. I totally forget his name, but he's in the Thor movies. Stellan Skarsgård. Okay, so he finds Matt Damon. He's a janitor at this college.
Yes.
And he finishes his formula. Brings him in, all this stuff, introduces him to Robin Williams because he cannot crack him. And Robin Williams has also like a degree in like psychology.
It's also Robin Williams comes in very late in the movie as well.
He does, but he fucking kills it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Robin Williams is... I'm not saying you couldn't
give two shits about him, though. So that's why we're having...
No, I said I couldn't give two shits about Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
Robin Williams is great in it.
See, the thing is, what like the ending of this movie is, it's interesting because the whole film, Matt Damon's a genius. He's doing all this stuff, but he has no motivation to do anything, even though he has this like beautiful mind. Yeah, he's a janitor, and he doesn't care. He literally does not care. And
then Ben Affleck is like, if I had a mind like you, I would leave here and never look back.
And then Casey Affleck's there.
And Casey Affleck's just
there.
Just there.
But, and he's like, I can't wait to harass people.
I just dream of walking up to that door, knocking, and know you're not there. Yeah, and then that happens.
Son of
a
bitch to lie.
But basically, like...
I think if that line was earlier in the movie, I would have liked that at the end more. Because it's like, I feel
it's pretty well placed.
But I see that in a lot of movies where it's like they'll make a comment and then it like with 20 minutes left in the movie and then it'll come back in the last moment and it's like that's not a whole lot of time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I like first to third act payoff, not beginning of third to end of third.
Okay, but see that then Robin Williams, what's so fascinating is like he's trying to get Matt Damon to share more about himself, and then he shares a lot about himself with like his wife and all that. And it's really interesting.
She likes to fart in her sleep.
And then at the end, he gets the file, and it shows like because he went to jail, and they like do all these background checks on him, and it shows like scars he had when he was younger, and it reveals like he was like totally molested.
I don't remember that,
and that's what fucked him up
whatsoever.
So coming like back essential. To our back pre-1990s comedies, we're talking of course about Good Will Hunting in 1997.
That's a huge
part of the film.
I have ones that I know are pre.
Okay, yeah,
Let's get the first one of the second.
In the 90s, a pre-90.
Airplane.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Second one I wrote down.
First, that was the last movie I watched with my parents the night before I went to college. Like,
I thought that was started that be a sentence sad, very yeah. dark.
No. Like my dad was like, "I'm going to show you this, and then you're going to go to college."
You had never seen it.
I'd never seen it.
That is ridiculous.
And I think I saw it when I was seven.
Oh, I saw it so young. Because I remember. At first, when the whole plane knows they're crashing, someone just runs out and there's boobs on the screen.
That's right.
That really left an impression on young Jake.
Oh my god, it's so good. Everything about it.
I saw that scene, I was like, maybe I'm not completely straight.
Now, is this the last good spoof?
Dewey Cox.
I'm talking straightforward spoof.
The first two Scary Movie. Scary Movie as a whole franchise is not bad.
Okay, I agree with that.
It lost its footing, definitely.
And maybe they kind of put a cloud around the whole franchise because they became really bad.
Yeah, well, that's for the later segment that we can get more into. But
like, okay, so maybe it's not the last good one. But this was maybe the last.
It's Popstar. We talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not straightforward, if not the best. It's a mockumentary.
Airplane was definitely one of the best comedy movies of all time. And it was very reminiscent of the era because there were so many disaster movies of that time. And like. It's great for that time period.
The inflatable pilot.
Yeah.
I love Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, the jives talk with the subtitles. Shit. It's so funny.
Golly.
I like my coffee.
And
that's so great.
I can't think of... What's the woman, the main woman's name?
Oh, I have no idea.
Nancy?
I think it's Elaine in the movie.
Elaine.
Talk closer.
How she... we could all hear that. Talk closer. But she's trying to sell the native people Tupperware.
Yeah,
she's like, and it'll keep your animal hide safe and clean for a couple weeks.
It's so good. And I mean,
I remember reading an article a couple of years ago that was like, they figured out that it's the quote unquote funniest movie ever because there's like 3-point-something laughs per minute.
Oh yeah, and when they cut away from the plane. Like, everything that's happening on that ground control pad
is so funny.
And it's another instance of everybody in the movie taking everything completely serious.
Totally. Yeah, all with a straight face. Like,
and Leslie Nielsen's.
I knew this was the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
And then, of course, it's like, Don't Call Me Shirley.
Well, of course.
It's, oh my god.
It's such incredibly quotable.
What do you guys think of Airplane 2?
I've only seen half of it. I haven't seen it.
And I thought it was fine.
It definitely is just like the movie again.
Yeah, you can't recreate it really.
When it's like a movie as good as Airplane, making a sequel is very rare you'll get like anything close to it.
Well, like the Zuckers weren't really involved in the sequel. They didn't really want to do it, so they had all new writers, directors, and everybody, except the actors, of course. And obviously, it definitely isn't as good, and it does feel a little bit off, but I think it's fun. They have some fun bits about space, like whenever they're on the moon base and they have to open a door, they go they put their finger over their mouth and they go shh, and then the door opens and goes shh.
Being from Star Wars, kind of. I think it's great. I think that's one of the best. That's easily one of the best comedies of all time.
That's like the go-to that people say, but I mean, it's true.
We're doing best pre-99. You want to go, or
I'll throw one out. Okay, one of my favorites is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ooh,
I think it's so
is
good.
Pre-90s.
Yeah, it was I think 88. It's so like that was the first movie, of course, 88. That had that type of animation with, you know, live action.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so well. It works so well. Who was the director? It was
Zemeckis.
Zemeckis, yeah. Like,
Zemeckis joint.
One of his one of his greatest movies, like Jessica Rabbit's gorgeous for some reason. That was like a weird feeling when I was younger. I was like, why do I feel this impression. Way about a cartoon?
The baby.
Everything about it's so funny, and there's actually a legit mystery docs in it.
Yeah, it's like
his eyes are awesome.
Noirish type.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
action. Mickey Mouse makes a cameo in it.
I don't remember.
Well,
that
was a big deal at the I think it was
the skydiving
near the end,
right?
But it was a big deal because it was the first time that like a Looney Tune character, it was Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse appearing side by side, which had like never happened before.
Oh, that was so cool. I love everything about the movie. And the laughs are pretty consistent.
Was Danny DeVito in that?
No, it's
Who's
the main guy, Jake?
Yeah, because I keep thinking that it's Danny DeVito, but I know it's not.
Bob Hoskins. Just passed away, like, pretty recently, I'm pretty sure. Aww. Anyway, you pull one out there, Jacob.
All right, so I'm going to do... I guess this round we'll do, like, the kind of obvious ones. I'm talking close, all right? You have the headphones on now. All right?
Gave them to me.
Mm. Fucking... Really?
Can you believe this guy, Ryan?
Alright, so I'm going to do another obvious one before we go.
Mic, okay? Say it.
God damn it. You want me to say it in Morse code?
Go.
No. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah.
Up There was one of the best. I think I haven't seen Meaning of Life, but I've seen Life of Brian, Holy Grail.
I think I like Meaning of Life just a tiny bit more.
Really? I've been holding off to seeing it because once I see it, I've seen.
I mean, it's a sketch movie.
Yeah,
that's all pulled together with a semi-coherent.
That's more or less what Monty Python is, except it's very submersed in the world.
Yeah,
it's there's so many like moments that you could just fast forward to, and you just know
it's
exactly
because,
where you're
like,
at.
Monty Python structures their movies as a string of sketches.
Yeah.
With like in a world or in like a setting.
Yeah.
And they just use the same character.
Well, that's what Trey Parker and Matt Stone also do. Like, I mean, you can see it with their movies and with anything, is that they try to do it so that each scene is part of a larger thing, but each scene could also work as just like an individual sketch with its own like game and objective in it.
Yeah. It's like the same thing with Airplane, where it's like there's so many different wildly quotable and like great moments. The Knights That Say Knee, 'Tis But a Scratch, the rabbit at the end, like just writing up. Like,
when
there's
the,
so much. The animator time.
I was about to say, I couldn't remember.
The animator died. I think that's my favorite.
That's
I haven't seen them all. My favorite
Jason
of those. Python. Ross, do you have one real quick?
Like quick.
Like get it out. Here, right, while you're looking here, one of my favorite.
I just wrote down anything Mel Brooks.
Anything Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
okay.
I have Spaceballs on my list.
Spaceballs is 80s, right?
Yeah, Spaceballs is 80s. I watched Blazing Saddles for the first time a couple months ago. And
first time.
Yeah. Well, I had seen bits and chunks, and like my. Brother liked it, but I was like too young to like kind of get it. But
did you like it?
I did.
Okay.
I don't think it's my absolute favorite, but I liked it.
I thought there were definitely moments though that did not. They're just a little.
See,
out of date.
I've still yet to see it all the way through. Like,
what do you
I've
mean?
Seen
just like with the
moments.
Use of the N-word.
Yeah,
I mean,
like right off the bat.
But at the same time, that's part of the point of the movie.
I don't think that's clear until like a little later. But I remember watching
Didn't Richard Pryor co-write it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But
Jake, look it up.
It's very possible. All right.
Again, Gene Wilder though.
Gene Wilder, yeah.
So good, and his introduction is awesome as well. I think you meet him in like the jail cell. Is that right?
He's upside down, I think.
Oh my god, it's a really fun.
There are five writers, and Richard Pryor is one of them.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, that gives it a little bit more. Like, maybe
it's okay
cool.
Now.
It's fine.
Were
now.
You saying,
yeah.
Were you saying one of the industry's oldest? Jewiest Jews can't say the N-word
I don't know. I just don't know. But
I love High Anxiety.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't think I got all the way through it. Because, like, I mean, I haven't seen that much Hitchcock, and it's very much hinging on that.
But I think Mel Brooks with, like, Spaceballs, that's a perfect
Another
example of a great spoof.
Phenomenal.
And
it was not popular when it came out, though.
Is that true?
Yeah, a lot of people were like, oh, I mean, like, because it came out in the late 80s, I think.
I think it's because...
And people were like, really? Yeah. Star Wars jokes? Like, it's kind of old at this point.
And the stuff that it made fun of, like, hung on. So when you watch it today...
It's also like a general, like, they make fun of Planet of the Apes, they make fun of Alien, like, so it's a general sci-fi thing, like, rooted in Star Wars.
Right.
But you have Rick
Just
Moranis.
Like
Rick
you
Moranis.
You have Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
John Candy.
Rick Moranis steals the movie, though, I think.
Oh, I... Yeah, he's my favorite, but
Comb
still every
desert.
Character.
Cut to them
we
coming.
Fine.
And Mel Brooks is yogurt.
As yogurt doing all
yogurt
the
and
marketing.
President Scrooge.
Oh, that's right. He is the president.
Yeah, and his
and
butt's on backwards.
Beamed.
What a classic bit.
And the whole alien scene when they're at the bar. Oh,
it starts dancing.
That's my favorite part. I could definitely see that when it came out, people were like,
because it was probably
it's a little all over the place now that we're like talking about everything that happens.
I think Spaceballs, when it came out, I feel like people might have interpreted it as kind of like a scary movie type thing where it was like, okay, like this, I don't know how much this is really working. But luckily, all the things that he spoofed are pretty iconic, unlike a lot of those like date movies, scary movie, epic movie, all those that it's really just like they're very much just flash in the pan.
Bill Pullman is in it too.
Oh,
he's
as
like the Han Solo kind of character.
Yes.
He is great. I love his line.
Lone Star.
Lone Star. When I think they crash land and
Lone
the princess, I don't know who that she was, but
princess
she's like
Vespa.
Princess Vespa was complaining. He's just like, you are ugly when you're angry. I was like, oh my God.
And
this
guy. There's so much because like I think like all these classic.
Funny. She doesn't look Jewish.
Classic Star Wars jokes.
She says Druish because she's from Druidia.
Yeah. Like the classic Star Wars jokes that you kind of make as a kid are all in here. Like Pizza the Hut
is
like such a great bit. Or like I am your father's cousin's nephew's.
Yeah,
like it's,
that joke
those
is
classic
so
jokes,
dumb, but it's still
great.
So what does that make us?
Absolutely
nothing.
My favorite part though is when they're looking at the TV and they're like, "This is us right now," but 10 minutes ago, and they look back.
Was that Michael Winslow?
What's that?
He was doing sound effects, so I would assume.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah
gave me the
it
beeps,
was. He was the radar technician.
And the creeps.
What are you, sir? An asshole.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
Oh, that was such a good one.
Wait, but hold on. Real quick, if we're talking
Mel Brooks,
like, we have to mention Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein. Also, the producers, I think, I kind of enjoyed it more as a musical than a...
I haven't seen the remake, but I have seen the Gene Wilder
is
one.
That your
I thought
Gene Wilder,
it's
though?
Like one, it's one joke.
Is it your
like,
favorite?
It was
Gene?
Good. They're good in it, but like the whole thing's
I
one
just
joke.
Think it works better as a musical because like it's a musical about musicals, and it really goes over the top. And also, Nathan Lane's in a musical, and he's fantastic.
Do you think Gene and Young Frankenstein? I think that's my favorite of his.
I think so too. I watched it a little while ago, like last year, and
he's so like.
And again, it's not even. I don't think it's really that much of a laugh out loud movie, but you're just like in awe of just the detail that they went to. The whole scene with the blind man is great, and
there's nuances that he just
it's
has.
So, it's very accurate and
right,
and it's not it's goofy, but it's goofy in this world. Like there's unlike Spaceballs, unlike High Anxiety, unlike every other Mel Brooks movie, like it's rooted exactly where it is. It's only parodying the source material.
Right. It's a quirk. It's quirky in that way. I really love that
movie.
Yeah,
it's like New Girl. It's so quirky.
One of my favorite other movies from in pre-90s, my favorite actor is Big. I think Big is one of the best movies.
I never thought of that as comedy, but I mean, like, yeah, I guess.
I mean, everything. First of all, it's such a ridiculous premise with like him.
But
he's at this fortune teller machine.
I wish I was Big.
And then he becomes Tom
and
Hanks.
He's an adult. And it's kind of like, I just remember seeing that when I was younger and like, oh my God.
Movies are amazing.
I would do that. And then he, of course, the scene where they're talking about the toys and he's like, what if it was a bug? And you're like, oh, that's so awesome.
Wasn't it a sad day when you like watch movies and realize like, oh, that kind of stuff will never happen to me. Like, I remember I was watching like The Incredibles or Fantastic Four and I realized like, oh, I'll never have like a superpower.
Oh,
and
man.
It shook me to my core.
But I love Big. I love his performance in
Big.
Big
is
a child.
I have great memories of Big. Again, it's been a long
so
time
good,
since I've seen
have you seen the musical?
No. There's a musical?
It's not that good.
Oh, boy. Is there a song of the, like the machine?
They've got to be singing one when they're on the big piano too, I'm sure.
Oh, my
well,
God.
So my high school, when I was little, they did it. My brother was in it, and so we saw it. And they do the piano. And it was cool.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
That was a Robert
Loggia. Hallmark moment, too. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows it.
It's just like such a pure moment. And I love in movies and comedies in particular when like every emotion is genuine. Because like I feel like sometimes movies... Sometimes a lot of Seth Rogen ones, like sometimes
it's very
everything will just be like kind of snarky and just like ugh, but when characters are experiencing true emotions, it just makes everything so much better. Like that's
unrelatable.
Do you guys know Andy Daly?
Yeah.
No.
So he's this comedian improviser, and one of his quotes that I love is that sincerity is one of the most important parts to a joke. Like, the more genuine a character is, like, the less the audience will see, like, shit coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. You should see Review if you haven't seen it on Comedy Central.
He plays Forrest.
Devastating. Did you see the finale? Forrest McNeil.
Forrest McNeil.
The finale. Oh, Jake. So season three it's only three episodes. And it's devastating.
Really? Wow. That's it. I've never heard Ross talk about something like this before.
It's hauntingly
beautiful. I remember. Like, wow. I pointed Andy Daly out to you because he's doing not Carfax commercials.
He is doing Carfax.
Is it Carfax? Yeah.
Show me the Carfax.
Well, he's not saying show me the Carfax. He's standing outside the Carfax Center. He's like, look at these deals or whatever.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any more, Jake, that are popping up at you?
All right. So I'm going to want to go one more time after this, but we have to talk about this because you're outnumbered. UHF. UHF is a phenomenal movie.
It's going to be quiet during
here,
this.
Here, Ryan, let me...
For those of you
listening... Let me posit you a question.
Okay.
Are you a Weird Al fan?
When I was younger, I became, like, aware of his music through some of my good friends.
So, no.
And I was just like, oh, yeah, I think a lot of these are pretty funny. I never really watched him in, like, movies or anything like that. It was just kind of... I liked his music. But when I saw UHF, I thought that was the biggest piece of shit I'd ever seen.
When did you see it?
Oh, at the beginning of this year. It was, I think, week
there
one.
There we go. Okay, so
week one
not
of the semester.
So you're not a huge Weird Al fan, plus you didn't see the movie until year.
Until in September.
I think, Jake, you and I are pretty big weird heads.
I would absolutely say that.
And I watched this movie. I rented it from Blockbuster when I must have been seven.
It was Blockbuster Hollywood Video, but I remember I rented it, and I watched it the night I rented it with my dad. I loved it so much that I made my dad watch it again, and then my mom came down watch it too. So I think I watched it two nights in a row when I first saw it.
You're telling me you didn't laugh at the Spatula City commercial?
Spatula City is my favorite commercial.
Don't even remember
Gandhi
that.
Too.
Okay, we're going to watch it after this.
Oh my God.
Just Spatula City. The dad smacks himself on the forehead as hard as possible and goes, because he forgot a spatula. And he's like, okay, kids, let's go.
It was funny when you were describing that to me, but I didn't think it was funny.
I think the actual movie is fine, but it just like all the fake commercials, all the ridiculous over the top.
I even love Michael Richards' character. Stanley Spadowski, a great character when he has his own show. It's like, you get to drink from the fire hose.
Yeah.
Like,
I just didn't. I didn't like the opening with Indiana Jones.
Here's the thing.
I will say it did go on a little
bad.
80s Weird Al is such an acquired taste. Modern day Weird Al, he kind of has fine-tuned and figured out like how to master different genres and stuff. But 80s mm-hmm. Weird Al, he was very much just like, I'm weird and that's what I'm doing. And he...
Okay.
And I thought, I can see where you're coming from. Like his older albums, I'm not a huge fan of. But
right.
Yeah.
I think I just knew him from the music perspective, and maybe I'd seen him like perform online on YouTube or something. But like when you were pitching me this movie, I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. He seems pretty funny. And it just didn't work for me. It was a very specific type of.
I will say it was a lot more centered towards a younger audience than
absolutely.
Because I thought when I saw it, like, oh, this is like a grown up movie and I enjoy it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, then you realize, oh, wow.
I still love it.
Okay, what's the other one you're going to say?
Are we going to go
down? Just launch another one.
I'm just going to say the trifecta of Hard Day's Night, Help, and Yellow Submarine.
All right.
Have either of you seen any of them?
No.
Fuck no.
All right, so they're the Beatle movies. Hard Day's Night, I'll focus on. It's a phenomenal movie. It's like a parody of what the Beatles were at the time. It came out in 1964.
Sounds hilarious.
They play themselves. They play the Beatles.
Whoa.
But it's written, not written, but it's directed by Richard Lester, who's like a big comedy director. It was written specifically for the soundtrack. But it's so genuinely funny. It has like a similar feel of like, say, Airplane or like Naked Gun, where it's like really witty one-liners and like quick bits like that. And also it's the Beatles and you have
the
music.
Hey, Paul, your microphone's off. Oh, no.
Like that.
Like better than that.
Hold on, you're telling me.
I kind of like that.
Hey, Paul, your microphone.
I wrote a song.
It's a phenomenally, it's hilarious. It's
what's it called? Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Yeah, Paul
What's
wrote
in
that.
The belt?
So Let's get our fucking facts straight.
Something.
And that's a George one.
Ryan, has anybody told you that you do a really good Beatles impression?
Oh my god.
Well, no, no, no. I was asking a question because if so, they should be telling you that.
No. You almost were the first.
With the Beatles?
All right, Jake. Anything else about the Beatles?
It holds up to the test of time.
Yeah, what was the trifecta?
Hard Day's Night.
Okay. Help.
Help. And Yellow Submarine, which is different enough. It's also a kid-centric movie. Half of it's the art. Half of it's kind of the whimsical aspect of it. But definitely Hard Day's Night and Help are great music, obviously. Great acting.
Really? Well,
good acting. phenomenal writing.
Are there songs?
Yeah, there's the songs from the album Hard Day's Night on Hard Day's Night and Help and Help.
Are they included in like the story?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Just kind of. Like you hear them. Yeah. Throughout.
George keeps going, I feel a song coming on.
They do kind of just like, especially in Help, because the story of Help is hilarious because it's not.
Does he need help? And then he's just like,
it's,
help.
It's a tribe of people somewhere in the world about to do a sacrifice.
They need help.
A ritual sacrifice, but they need a ring. And Ringo has like 20 rings on his hands. So they need to steal a ring from Ringo. And that's the plot.
I want board. That sounds really funny.
It's hilarious.
Do you have it?
Not here. I have it at home.
That surprises me.
I have it at home.
You have this on quick draw. Like, you'd have it right there.
Maybe the library has it.
You sold me. Or Ringo has a lot of rings. I love that.
It's great. I love
that in?
That's Help.
Okay. Help sounds like
Hard Day's Night is one that's like...
The self-parody.
Is reality. It's like they play the Beatles during Beatlemania, and they're like performing as the Beatles. They're still the Beatles in Help, too, but like... It's ridiculous.
We're on the Schmed Schmullivan.
I feel like if you did something like that, it'd have to be pretty ridiculous. For it to be funny.
Help is very over the top, but like in the greatest way.
Okay.
Hard Day's Night, again, very clever, like even Marx Brothers-y type one-liners. I don't know. Highly recommended.
Are they directed by anyone we would know?
Richard Lester. Dick Lester.
Dick Lester.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
No. I was trying to think of the character's name from Death of a Salesman.
Death of a Salesman. Well,
Richard Lester, also known for Superman 2 and 3.
Willie Loman.
The Three Musketeers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might rattle a few off here, not even like talk about them, but like Ghostbusters.
Of course.
It Happened One Night. Have you guys seen that?
Not.
It's a 1940s film.
I know it's like always Clark on the Gable. Top of the list.
I love that movie so much. It's really quite funny.
Singing in the Rain's really funny.
Oh, yeah. I watched Singing in the Rain for the first time in December, and I was like genuinely really into it.
Raising Arizona?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Nick Cage? Yeah.
Coen Brothers?
Yeah, I saw it years ago, but I remember being good.
I love that movie. When the robbery, he just puts a sock on his face. He can't even see. Or it's a stocking, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah, it's a stocking.
And then they steal a baby. And that's the name of Arizona.
I just remembered from Singing in the Rain, like something, they're at a club or something, and they have to get out. And she goes, call me a cab. And the guy goes, fine, you're a cab.
Oh, that is actually a really good one. There's a lot of good gems in like the 40s and 50s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then
because it was like coming off of like vaudeville was for the most part done.
Like I kind of mentioned Marx Brothers. Like, have you seen Duck Soup?
I haven't.
It's like it's not much of a movie as it is like them just saying one-liners in a situation the whole time. But it's still like they're genuinely really well structured jokes.
Is that the one with the giant clock?
No.
Okay.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it's basically just. A bunch of funny one-liners for an hour.
I will say, wait, one more thing, though. Yeah. Is this Spinal Tap?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Mentioned that before.
Created, like, my now favorite types of comedies, really. Because, like, when I saw that mockumentary appealed to me so much. Like, and The Office is my favorite, you know, sitcom or show on TV. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite. Mm-hmm. It just worked so well. I loved. And they were, like, the first ones to kind of do it like that.
Yeah, you know Christopher I mean? Guest and that whole crew.
I love that movie so much.
It's not. It's a TV show, but like I mentioned him before. But have you guys seen the Dick Van Dyke Show?
I've
clips.
Yeah,
it's on. They have full episodes on Netflix.
I really
suggest you watch it. It's like Carl Reiner, who was like the executive producer creator. He was very insistent on the writers that they use as little pop culture references as possible, so it like it doesn't age, and it does like
really.
The episodes are still pretty funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, like, a lot... They're all experienced performers. Like, Rosemary... I can't think of
how many episodes?
60-something.
Oh, wow. That's cool though that like they told him not to do pop culture references to hold
up. But yeah, I will say about Duck Soup, there's like a couple really uncomfortably racist things throughout it. But like other than
that's why you like it so much.
Oh, man, I bet that we got a few in A Hard Day's Night, am I right?
No.
Why is the night so hard, Jake?
Ooh, what is that, a Mexican?
Little piece of trivia, Hard Day's Night, the title is a Ringoism.
Anyway, okay. We're going to go into the last segment here. It'll be very brief. Ring. Guilty pleasures. Now, I think we should establish like our definition
what do you mean
of
exactly
a guilty pleasure.
That?
So I think for me, and Jake, you can cut in whenever you want.
And I will. Right now.
Okay.
Can I?
So for
Kyle, can I?
I consider a guilty pleasure.
Into the microphone.
I liked it. See that? That's a guilty pleasure. I think a guilty pleasure.
Awful job so far, but.
It's like, it's a movie that it's bad. And people, it's renowned as bad. It's not critically acclaimed.
Okay.
But you find it, you find some love in it. You know, it's, you're in the minority of liking it. And,
okay.
And maybe it's for a comedic reason. Maybe it's not. Maybe you just generally think it's funny and you're in the minority. It can be for a lot of reasons, a plethora of reasons. So, like,
yeah. Cause I would say I never feel bad for liking a movie.
Yeah. And they don't even have
so
to
I'm
be
never,
straight
like,
up comedies,
guilty.
But you might find them funny.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you might find them entertaining for some reason. So, one of, like, we had, I think, a similar one is Benchwarmers. Have you seen Benchwarmers?
I have.
See, like, on paper, and, like, I know it's not
it's
a good
not
movie.
A good movie.
It's not
it's
a good
like,
movie.
Really
it's
bad.
It's not a good movie at all.
But I loved
it's
it as
so
a kid.
Solidified that people don't care about John Hader.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was. Poor was yeah, this his like follow up from
like,
Napoleon Dynamite?
I find it funny.
It was, I think it was after Blades of Glory.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that movie. But. I like find it funny.
I
enjoy
watching it. I'm going to preface it by saying it's been a long time since I watched
it.
But I remember.
Stuff.
I watched it on a road trip and I was like, can we just sit
were you
in
on
silence?
A Gus bus?
See, I don't know. I just remember like genuinely liking movie. It. I remember like, oh, it's funny. This character is afraid of the sun and he's eating sunscreen. That's hilarious to me.
God. But like for some reason.
Which one ate
that's
sunscreen?
Nick Swartzen's character.
And then who's the main guy?
Rob Schneider.
Like,
it's not
the worst
good.
Cast ever.
Have you seen his autobiographical show on Netflix, Real Rob?
No.
It's awful.
Oh. Anything he's in is pretty awful.
Yeah.
Because, like, all these comedians are like, oh, I want to do, like, a Curb Your Enthusiasm or, like, a Louis-type show.
Right.
And it's like, no.
No.
No one cares. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider doing that. Oh, my God. But I find that to be a guilty pleasure. And another one is superhero movie with Drake Bell.
I never
didn't
saw
like
it.
Oh, you never saw it?
I remember not liking that one.
I was going to, but I didn't.
I don't know. It just makes fun of Spider-Man enough. Like, there's something about it that I, like, genuinely find funny. Do you have any?
Any others?
Guilty Pleasures.
I recently learned the critics hated this, the Tenacious D movie. I love that movie. I think it's, I mean, I love Tenacious D as a group, but I think it's so well-structured for what it should be. Like, it has such an epic intro song with Meatloaf and Ronnie James Dio. It has a great ending with Dave Grohl.
Right.
Like, it has so many, like, different stars, but, like, it's. I could probably say it's a bad movie, but I
love
it. I love
it. Defend it.
Oh. And the music's phenomenal.
Of course. Yeah, I love the music. Do you have any that you might be in the minority of liking? Like, you feel guilty?
I don't remember why, but my brother and I really liked this movie from, what year was it? It was 2005, called Just Friends, with Amy Smart and Ryan Reynolds.
Just Friends.
Is it like a rom-com?
This is the poster, if that rings any bells. Yeah, it's a rom-com.
Just
and it's
Friends.
Oh, he's in a fat suit?
Yeah, he's in a fat suit.
Oh,
like,
my
the whole thing
God.
Is that Ryan Reynolds is in love with Amy Smart in high school, and they're like best friends, and then he tries to ask her out, and she's like, no, like, I don't want to ruin our friendship. And then it flashes to the present, and he's really successful, but he still is in love with her, and he's like dating Anna Faris. And like, it's a dumb movie, but I remember...
I kind of want to see it now.
My brother and I like used to quote it. I think we can only remember like one line of it now, but
wow, I've never heard of this.
And also, I mean, I mentioned it before, but like I would defend most of the Scary Movie.
Yeah.
Not the spin-offs with like Date, Epic, Disaster, Superhero, whatever. I mean, you defended Super, but like Scary Movie and Scary Movie 4, I think.
Yeah, it was 4 the one
with War of the Worlds and Saw.
See, that was the first one I actually saw, and I actually really liked it.
Saw.
Because
again, they
with the iPod, right? That's the thing that takes them all out.
It's a tripod or whatever.
And it actually looked really good. It looked just like the movie. That's what I really appreciate about
it. Yeah, and again, part of what we were saying before is that it sticks to horror movies. Right. Like there, I think there might have been like one or two little jabs at other things, but I couldn't think of the word.
And maybe it's because there were bigger horror movies then. Because like recently we haven't
Scary
had
Movie
like a,
5, ooh. They tried to do a lot with like found footage and I didn't see it, but it just wasn't really there, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
I didn't hear anything about it.
I don't think so. And then I think that had a lot of Charlie Sheen, like right at the moment all of his stuff was going up in flames. Like he starred in it.
No, he was only in the first scene. But then again,
is that the one where he dies with a giant boner or something?
Yeah.
Oh god, that
yes.
is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no. That was in the fourth one, but he doesn't die. Okay, it was the third one. He didn't die from it, but he like accidentally took pill like Viagra, and he's like trying to swat it away, and like the cat jumps on it. And, like, the scene ends with him, like, he fell over, and he's just, like, kind of arched, and just his dick is holding him up.
Was that 5?
That was 3. He was in, I think he was briefly in 4, and he was in the first scene.
I love 1 because it's all Scream.
Yeah.
And Scream is already kind of like a, it's a horror, but there's a lot, I think there's a lot of comedy in it.
Cabin in the Woods is also great.
Oh yeah, that is a good one. I don't think that's a guilty pleasure because
it's not a guilty pleasure. It's a legitimately good movie. And also everybody liked it.
Yeah. Everyone liked it. Joss Whedon owned it too.
Yeah. But in terms of like good, I would almost classify it as a comedy.
I would too.
Because it's on the edge
of glory.
Of Scream and Scary Movie, in that there's a lot of like actual like suspense and horror to it, but it also is paying homage and making fun of a lot of the tropes.
The scene where all the doors open.
Yes.
Was so awesome. That's the one moment I totally remember.
You haven't
remember.
Seen it, Jake?
I've not.
Yeah,
I haven't
his seen arms it. Are crossed. He's oh. so...
Just, I'll wait for you guys to stop talking about it.
No.
Well, now you guys see it.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth is in it, too.
Isn't Bradley Whitford in it?
He is.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, he's great in it, too. He's a really fun role.
Bradley Whitford and the dad from Step Brothers. I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah, they're co-workers. I forget his name too. He's an awesome actor.
It's like, you bet on zombie werewolves. Those are that's a zombie, like, redneck family or whatever. I'm butchering the
line. And they're all, like, caricatures. Richard Jenkins. They're all caricatures of the people that go to the cabin. Mm-hmm. And they all just, I think they all do.
I've heard good things of it. Haven't seen it.
It's really good.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I think so.
It's genre bending.
And there were a few years where like no one saw it. So when I saw it, I was like, I'm like one of the few people, but now it's pretty out there.
Well, because I had one thing I would like the advertising for it, I remember being kind of weird. Like
it was bad.
You couldn't quite figure it out what it was trying to be.
Yeah, I remember them like escaping and there was like a force field.
Like it is on IMDb just labeled as horror.
There's totally comedy.
Well, it's Joss Whedon. So I mean, like it really just kind of, to quote Robin Thicke, blurred line.
Yeah.
So, guys, what's your favorite Robin Thicke song?
Too many to choose.
He did a cover of "Ride the Wind." You know that song?
Possibly.
I got to ride the wind. Oh, Anchorman 2 opens with it. Din, 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 din. Yeah, he did a cover of it, and Will Ferrell is in the background because it was for the Anchorman 2 soundtrack, just like making fun of him the entire song. Just like every time he starts singing, he just starts like ragging on him. And that's my favorite Robin Thicke song.
Huh.
But Blurred Lines. I actually know someone who's in the music video.
When you know Pharrell Williams?
Yeah. No, her name's Casey. You know you want it.
Any more guilty pleasures, gents?
There's one more I have that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because I feel like all
is
of his
it
movies
the,
are.
His Santa one?
Yeah, it's his Christmas one, Jingle All the Way.
Huh.
Have you ever heard of this?
I mean, I've heard of it. I haven't seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, same.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, American Dad. Already something's wrong. But he has his family.
Does he try to do the accent?
He totally tries. It doesn't work. His son is...
Hello, I am
American.
His son is Anakin from the Star Wars prequels.
Wait,
like,
Jake Lloyd?
The kid, Jake Lloyd.
Oh my God.
Phantom Menace.
I thought he doesn't act anymore.
Well, this was right before. Like, this was the movie he got cast in right before. And it's like, I find it hilarious because it's just awful. Because
the message is your love can be bought.
Yeah, your love is in
the
money.
But I don't know if I would count that as a guilty pleasure, because a guilty pleasure, I think, has to be genuine enjoyment for it, but it, the way that you described it, it sounds like you're kind of watching it with like ironic detachment.
My enjoyment of it though is like, man, I can't believe like someone greenlit this. Like this is terrible.
That's a different.
I'm also seeing that Sinbad is in this.
It's more like it's so bad. Phil Hartman. It's good,
oh wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I mean I love bad movies.
I think it is a so bad it's good then. More like sort of Room esque. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I wouldn't say you can say The Room is a guilty pleasure at this point.
I took you guys to see The Room.
You did. It was phenomenal.
Should we talk about that? Should we talk about that?
Okay.
I don't know. Like it was really. We saw it.
Yeah. So The Room, for those of you who don't know, is a 2003. Supposed drama directed, written, and starring this man Tommy Wiseau, and it's about infidelity and like this woman doesn't love her fiance anymore.
He's killing this synopsis right now.
And you have to watch the movie. There are clips. It's that movie with the line "You're tearing me apart, Lisa."
Oh hi, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two.
I did not hit her.
It's bullshit. Oh hi, Mark. But. It's a very just everything that could have been poorly done in a movie was poorly done, and so I took these guys to see it for the first time. And instead of it just being like a screening or something, we went to a midnight screening where Tommy Wiseau
was there.
And do you guys want to talk about how that Q&A went?
Oh
boy!
Right off the bat, he
starts saying retarded.
Yeah, which
but in his defense, there is a character in the movie. That can only be described as such.
Yeah.
But then he also didn't seem very into it. Someone would ask him a question and he'd be like, here's my answer. Next question. Like in the same sentence. Though. Yeah, it was
you can tell that that's his personality in general. Like even before the movie came out, he would like if you guys should read The Disaster Artist. It's by Greg Sestero.
My brother read it. He's highly recommended.
And you're like, "Oh, okay, this all makes sense kind of."
Really?
Not really, but you get a sense of who Tommy is, and you're not as surprised at kind of how he acts as a person.
Mm-hmm. He's like an anti-Willy Wonka, where you just cannot figure him out, but you don't really
know. Chocolate.
Milly Monka.
Tommy Wiseau. Yeah, and we shook his hand, and he signed a copy of the screenplay that he...
We all paid
$15. We all poured a lot of money into this man.
I think we like collectively all gave him $60.
Oh, more?
More than that? How much for tickets?
All right, let's not go into the finances.
But it was like
a phenomenal experience to go with the group. There's throwing spoons, chanting "Go" at a bridge. It's just
not a bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge. Some fucking bridge.
Throwing footballs around in a dark. It was a very great theater experience. One of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely! It was so much fun. And I don't think I'd see it again unless it was in that type of setting.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Okay. I believe the theater that we saw it at, they do monthly or bi-monthly screenings. And our friend Alyssa and I, we went. I took her for our first time, and it was a midnight screening, but there was not that much of a crowd just because it wasn't like Tommy wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was just as fun. Like if anything, you'll like actually hear more of the movie. And like,
I'd do it again because it was just that much fun. I think you gotta take people.
I feel like I'd do it again with someone who hasn't seen it because I feel like there is enjoyment in seeing it through their eyes for the first time.
All right, guys, I think we've covered all of our topics, so we might be able to start wrapping.
You want to just wrap up just with a worst comedy, like one that you really?
Yeah,
one
on a down note, Jake. I'm gonna say.
Tell you who my worst friend is.
Okay, I already said Tammy. I might think of one more, so you can go. Maybe that you saw in theaters?
All right. Well, I was going to say Meet the Spartans, which I saw on DVD, but I did, for a mix-up with tickets, I did see Vampires Suck
in
theaters.
That's what I was about to say!
Okay, hold on.
Did you like it?
I didn't love it, but I think it was closer to form.
Than the other ones.
Yeah. Because Vampires Suck, for the most part... They were making jokes about the Twilight franchise and just the general ridiculousness of it. And they had, I did kind of laugh at the joke where they order Chinese and then they throw the delivery guy at the vampires. And they're like, but we got to get out quick because they're going to be hungry in 20 minutes.
I don't remember that.
It
wasn't that memorable, but I think it worked better than a lot of the other attempts.
I have been going to movies since I was very little, and I've only fallen asleep in the theater once, and it was during Vampire Suck.
Who was the guy who played the dad? I remember
it was the guy from Wizards of Waverly Place. The dad from Wizards of Waverly Place.
He was the only one who kind of sort of entertained me in that film. But I, you know, this is what happened. I was at the beach. It was a rainy day. We're all going to see the movie, a movie with like my extended family, and it was Inception, or The Other Guys, or Vampires Suck. And guess what we saw?
Yeah, I remember I was going to see The Other Guys with a group of friends, and we went to the wrong theater, so they only had Vampires Suck.
So bad. And just people like next to me forcing laughs, and they're like, "Yeah, it's good, right? It's good." And I was like, "No."
Oh, everybody's just like doing it for each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I was not a fan of it. And I think that's the type of movie I feel like that kills that genre, in my opinion, anyway. I just feel like when that comes out and it fails as hard as it does, they're not made much anymore. Like, you have to really fund it yourself and make like an indie, but. I don't know. I was not a fan of that either. What about you, Ross?
This is hard.
That you just laid an egg in the theater. It was that bad.
I just don't know. I think if I see a movie in the theater, I'll try to find somewhere. Mm-hmm. I will say I did see Epic Movie in theaters.
There's a theme of all of us just disliking parody movies or loving parody movies.
I asked my dad, like, "Oh, can we go see it? It looks funny." And I love my dad, but I can so tell when he's like not enjoying something.
Oh yeah.
And like, it's kind of like that feeling when you introduce, you're like, "Oh guys, this is like one of my favorite like TV shows. You got to watch it."
That feeling.
And you're just like sitting there and you're just like, I'm waiting for them to laugh because I know that I love this.
That was me with Ryan and UHF.
Oh, that was, that was absolutely what that was. But like, I totally know what you mean. Like, the whole time you're next to him, you're like, "Okay, this is..." Mm-hmm.
I can't think of that many movies, like specifically comedy movies, that I wasn't like, "Okay, I liked a couple jokes in there." Because if I at least laughed a couple times, even if I never see it again, I'll be like, "Yeah, that was fine. That was good."
I don't know. I need a few. I need it to, like, if it's not funny, at least like tell a story that's cohesive.
I was going to say next is Grown Ups. I remember as a kid, I always thought it'd be a really cool idea if a movie didn't have a plot and it was just like playing with characters.
Is One all right?
Grown Ups was all right. I did not see the sequel. In Grown Ups, the whole bit where Adam Sandler, like his nanny, he kept pretending that she was a foreign exchange student. And then like towards the end of the movie, she's like, "He told me I have to study for all these exams and I don't know what he's talking about." She has all these textbooks.
I actually think One's all right.
I was so like... shocked at how there was no plot. Like, the climax of the movie is them playing basketball against characters we meet 2 minutes before that.
It's like all Hoosiers, if you've ever seen like, that. It's not... Yeah.
I was really disappointed, because especially at the time I watched it, I was a fan of, like, almost the whole cast.
Yeah.
And it was just wasn't funny to me.
2 is awful.
I'll take your word on it.
That's what I heard. Up there, man. I just remember that. Well, I think we've got to wrap this up.
All right, one last worst comedy. Phantom Menace. All right, keep going.
Yep, anyway.
Hot take.
Midichlorians. All right, that's the Movie Girls Podcast. Ross Wiseman.
We've been talking way too long,
but we did have it running when we took the break. So
that,
like,
was dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it wasn't recording. It was just, like, still going.
No, we should keep talking about that aspect in the recording here.
You sure?
Yeah. No, this is what the audience wants
to hear. If anyone made it this far, text me something. If you don't have my number, just tweet at me.
If you don't have his number, it's, what is it, 2?
Oh, you don't know. No. Ross Wiseman, you want to plug anything?
Yeah. like I said before, I host my own podcast. It's coming out very soon, called Kid Flix. Follow us at Kid Flix Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Also, I'm in an indie improv team, Ice Cream Social, here in Philadelphia, and we have a show on Monday, May 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the Philly Improv Theater. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Mr. Wiseman, MisterWeisman.
Was that a little Louis C.K. theater at the end there? I kind of heard him. He's sneaking up on you.
I mean, that's how you do an impression. You exploit an aspect of your voice.
There you go. And Jake.
Yeah.
Am I the new co-host or something? Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on your podcast.
No. we're co-hosts.
No, we love Ryan, but like yeah. Seriously.
Just say goodbye.
It's time for this podcast just, hosted by two Ryan Nilsons.
By two right. Me.
For all of us Ryans and Jakes here at the Moviegoers Podcast, have a good morning, good evening, good night. And
is that Truman Show?
good luck.
Good morning, good evening, good night.
Good.
Goodbye, everybody.
Jake, I got a question for you.
What's that?
Are you tired of just boring macaroni and cheese dinner?
It's always so boring, like mac and cheese. But where's the comma? Where's the third thing?
Well, I've got that third thing. It's called green food coloring.
How does it work?
Basically, you just do about 17 drip drops into your mac and cheese blend, and you got green mac and cheese.
Is that 17 drips, 17 drips, and 17 drops, or just the three are packaged into one?
Drip drop is a hyphened term, so 17 drip drops.
Okay.
So, if you're tired of the same old boring macaroni and cheese dinner every single
and
day.
Boy, am I tired of it.
All you have to do is buy our completely separate mac and cheese kit that comes with 17 drip drops of green food coloring. Bitch.
Call now.